Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all of your trails are happy. We'll put our little records away for an hour and be back with some community conversation on the morning show today here on WRCO-FM in Richland Center. News this hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's 63 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas lawmakers were scheduled to vote this afternoon on a measure that would strengthen President Trump's majority in Congress, but, says ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas,
Texas House Democrats have responded by leaving the state and heading to Chicago in an attempt to deny a quorum and prevent a vote on the GOP-drawn map. Republican Governor Greg Abbott accuses the absent lawmakers of a dereliction of their duty, reminding them that they could be fined, arrested, or kicked out of office for leaving in the middle of a special legislative session.
Democrats say the rare mid-decade redistricting is discriminatory and a violation of the Voting Rights Act. President Trump says he will appoint a new head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics this week. He fired the previous director when poor jobs numbers came out on Friday. Tariffs on almost all of America's trading partners kick in this week. Almost all economists say consumers should brace themselves for price increases. Red flag fire warnings up in Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, and Oregon as hot, dry weather persists in the West. This is ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Peridot is the birthstone for August. Pamela's has a large selection of all types of Peridot jewelry. Stop by, save 20% the whole month for your favorite Peridot piece of jewelry at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
Looking for the perfect Friday night fish dinner? The Phoenix Center in Richland Center has you covered. Every Friday starting at 4 p.m., they serve up delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Dine in or take it to go. Open Monday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center is still the local favorite for food, fun, and family time. From mouth-watering pizza to a night of bowling, it's the go-to destination for good times and great meals. To order, call 649-7469.
Hey, Truck and Tractor Pole fans, the Southwest Wisconsin pollers hope that you can join us this summer at one of our Truck and Tractor Pole events. Thank you to these 2025 season sponsors, including Dan's Diesel Performance, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Augelli Concrete, Cardinal CG, Chasson Smoke, Julie Karen State Farm Agent, Slama Equipment, the Phoenix Center, Wisconsin River Welding, and the Lonesome Dove. Visit southwestwipollers.com to find a truck and tractor pole near you.
It's your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to get into your dream home.
A high of 81 today with east to southeast winds at 3 to 7 miles per hour. Hazy sunshine through the day. A few clouds tonight. A patchy fog possible again and a low of 59. 83 Tuesday with a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm late. Wednesday a high of 84 with a slight chance of showers. And Thursday upper 80s. If you're looking for the perfect flooring for your next project, whether it's carpet, tile, wood, or laminate, Badger Land Flooring has you covered. Not sure what suits your space? Visit Jamie, Amy, and the team at their showroom at 1475 Highway 14 East Richland Center. With over 40 years of installation experience, they will guide you to the best flooring solution and ensure it's done right. Stop by Badger Land Flooring and let their expertise bring your flooring vision to life.
If you run a small business these days, you know just how challenging things can get. But you're a natural-born problem solver, so it's all good. Still, it doesn't hurt to have some good neighborly help. Like yourself, State Farm agents are also small business owners. This enables them to help you choose the right insurance coverage to fit your small business needs. So why not insure with a small business with fellow small business owner, who also happens to be a good neighbor? Call, text, or stop by Julie Karen State Farm in downtown Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust.
You've decided it's finally time to bring those ideas to life. A new garage, post-frame shed, or steel roofing. But where to start? We have your answer. All American Do It Center is a one-stop shop for building materials, including metal panels. From All American Steel, you'll save money by ordering directly through the manufacturer at All American. Our team has you covered, from project design to delivery of all the materials you'll need right at the job site. Get your project started today and contact the design team at All American Do It Center in Tomah, Sparta, and Richland Center. All American.
We begin a new week of morning shows on WRCO, and Mayor Todd Coppernall is here to bat lead off today and this week. Good morning, Mayor Todd. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Phil. How are you doing?
We're doing good.
Looks like you're getting over the hip surgery rather well, pretty quickly, I think. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling well. You know, moving around a little bit. I've kind of converted to the cane.
Yeah, I saw that. Are you back to rock and roll all night and party every day? Are we that far yet?
No, probably not. Probably just rock and roll a couple of hours and then take a rest.
Rock and roll on coffee break. And
exactly.
You're looking good, Phil. You're moving better than I thought you might be.
Sure. Yeah, thank you.
Good for that. You bet.
Have to be, because there are a lot of big things going on this week.
Yeah, well, summer's busy in Richland Center. It always is. And here we are, the Walk with Grace right in front of us, Phil. And I know I'll see you there, and I know that you had Seth Paulson down, this year's ambassador, and I have not heard his interview, so I don't know if he mentioned this or not, but Seth is actually family. He married my cousin Angie Brewer, and I got to know Seth. Oh, it's been several years now. Just a great guy and a wonderful choice. Great story, personal journey with cancer, and now a terrific effort to help other people, like so many others that have been involved with Grace through the years. I think Seth was a wonderful choice, and so a little shout out to his mom and dad who live in town, and to my Aunt Jolene Brewer and Uncle Chuck, who I know you know, who are his in-laws. Way to go, Seth Paulson. I'll see you at the Walk with Grace.
You bet. And his interview will air a little bit later on this week. We're kind of interspersing those through the week. But you have to be proud of Grace. It's not just a Richland Center thing, I know. But, 26,000 from the community last week in the radio auction. It's very impressive.
It's amazing. And we say this every year. A lot of us do. I have several times. You do. Ron has. A lot of people think of it this way. If you want to know whether or not your life will be touched by cancer, I'll give you two quick examples. One is my mom, who, Thanksgiving Day felt fine, and January 22nd had a 10-hour surgery to remove cancer, and then has since endured chemo and is now recovering from that, and at the moment, at least, is cancer-free, which is wonderful news. And the one that just is sobering, too, that one certainly rattled my world, but Marty Brewer, in the years that he was the county board chair, would either precede me or follow me to the microphone for a quick word on behalf of county government in support of Grace, and we've since lost Marty to cancer. So none of us are immune, and I think what's happened is the community has recognized that and rallied to this cause. And I didn't tell anybody yet. I hadn't told anybody affiliated with Grace that my mother had a cancer diagnosis before I had a chance to tell them. A representative from Grace walked into my day job and told me they knew, and told me to have my mom get in touch with them and they'd help her out. And they did do that. That's a small town. That's what happened. I mentioned it to a friend, and he told them. And I hadn't even had the time and hadn't taken the effort yet to tell anyone at Grace, and they already were involved in helping my mom.
Any congratulations out as we look back on the month of July? Anything that's happened here in the city?
I just heard something really interesting about Friday. Mr. Lenny Schaub, do you know Lenny?
Yes.
Good guy, has lived in this community a long time, still does. Good guy, has worked in the dairy industry for 55 years. He was cheese maker for years and years. He's been a butter grader, like a state-certified butter grader for decades now. And he's been helping a facility down in Sheboygan make butter. And Lenny has won a blue ribbon for the best butter produced in the state this year and is going to be recognized for that at the state fair. And I wanted to say a personal congratulations to Lenny. He's just a great guy and very community-minded on behalf of Richland Center and just a hard worker in his field. And now he's getting an award at the state fair, which I think is pretty cool.
That is. Of all the butter in the state to be recognized as the best, how cool is that?
In this state, that's a heck of a competition, right?
I mean,
look how much dairy we do. And he won that. And I think that's great news. And again, congratulations, Lenny Schaub.
In the city, construction updates, anything you can tell us?
Right. Yeah. So we had a special session of the city council. We meet once a month and I call it a special session. And we met mid-month as well because we have a few projects moving forward. And I'm excited about them. We've talked several times about the Panorama Estates apartments. Two buildings due out there, 46 units apiece, so 92 new apartments. They're actually meeting, their architect is meeting with the state today to get their blueprints approved. You have to have a state-approved plan, and what had happened there is they did that, and then their architect recommended an amendment to the original design, and then that needs to be approved, and they've been waiting their turn on the calendar, which is today. So they reached out to us at August 4th. We'll be down there in Madison. And then about 10 days ago or so, the builder met with a bunch of the city department heads, utilities and so forth, and director of public works to make sure everybody knows what permits will be needed. Everybody starts to get a sense of the timeline for the excavator and so on down the line, so there aren't any avoidable delays once the project starts. And what's going to happen, and this is in the developer's agreement that the builder signed with the city, they'll build two buildings and they'll go like this. They'll put the foundation in for the first one, which is about a six-week job. And once that foundation is in, they will begin the foundation for the other one. So they're going to be building two buildings simultaneously. The builder wanted to do that to take advantage of economies of scale. They can save money buying more supplies at once, having the labor crews here, not having to move people in, out, back in again. And they told me, for instance, they said it costs $4,000 to move one piece of heavy construction equipment to the site. Why would we want to do that, move it back out, and then bring it again? It doesn't make sense, right? So for a lot of reasons, the builder wanted to do both buildings at once, and naturally, on behalf of the city, we'd prefer that anyway. So that's the plan there. We should hear from them, I don't know, today or tomorrow, on how their meeting went today. I've never been part of a meeting like that with the state. I don't know if they typically approve that right then or if they say you'll hear from us in a week. I don't know that. But we're to that point now of Panorama getting their final blueprint approved by the state. Then they can get their permits issued, and then they can begin the build.
I think a lot of it was wishful thinking, but, you know, there have been a few rumors around saying, oh, they've pulled out, and, you know, since people aren't seeing any progress made there.
Well, yeah, and so this is why they hadn't started yet, is that they had to get, you cannot do, it is unlawful to begin a dig without a permit, and you can't get a permit without a state-approved plan. I mean, no building inspector is going to go, well, heck, we'll tell the state later. That's just not going to happen. So this is the way this had to go. And, you know, at this point, we're pretty much there, is get the plan approved and get your excavator booked. I've heard from the excavator. They're expecting to do that. And then they can begin the build, and it's a big deal for the city. We're excited about it.
I've noticed other towns not too far away. Reedsburg has got a number of apartments now ready to go and are still working on it. I noticed Viroqua as well, so it's kind of nice that Richland Center's kind of keeping up with the times.
Yeah, I mean, we did one A few years ago. The first Panorama building has been renting for 5 or 6 years now. This is Viroqua's first one of its nature, and they're excited over there, and they should be. I've heard quite a bit from their economic development people, and they found out what everybody does, which is it's a great idea, but there's a lot of layers to it. And to get everybody in place, get the land, get the DNR involved, get everybody, you know, if you need the DOT involved, and then you, obviously the builder, and then is the city going to be a financial participant in the project or not? It, you know, none of this can happen in 10 minutes. But over in Viroqua, theirs is nearly complete. I don't know when exactly, but nearly complete. We do have one that we've had about 5-6 years and two more coming. So, yeah, builders love to do multifamily. The cost of construction has gotten so tough to deal with at this point. You know, fitting more people on one foundation under one roof, you know, makes sense financially for the guy that owns the place. So that's why you see that. There's apartments under construction all over the place. DeForest has 400 under construction right now, with 100 more planned to follow that. Baraboo is doing several hundred more. The Dells area has more. Over in Holman, they have more. If you go up in the Rhinelander Eagle River area, you'll find them. Up in Wausau, you'll find them. And there's two reasons for that. The first is what I just said. It benefits the builder. The other reason is what I've said on the air so many times, the phrase net new construction, which is called for in state law that's about 15 years old, to get more money in the city's general fund and in the county's general fund, you must get new construction. And so if you think about it, one building that assesses for $8, $10, $12 million is a big deal, and especially in a smaller town. The smaller you go, the more that matters. So then you can also, everybody's always talking about the need to grow population, which is obviously there and real. You can fit more people in one big building. So that's why you've seen that push all over the state.
On this program as well, you've talked about some new houses and a possibility of those. What's the status on that?
Yeah, the city council made a decision as well at that special session. It was a very impactful meeting, one of the more exciting ones I've presided over in 5.5 years as mayor. Mike Lamont and Ellen Evans, if you're out there listening, you all know her as Ellen Keller. I know you're out there listening because you do every time. I'll bet I hear from them today, Phil. They've been real energetic about this. They bought the land that had been owned by Bob and Rosalie Wheat right above Rainbow Drive, kind of behind Allison Park. I think it's 12 acres. That's about right anyway. And the Wheats had begun to develop that, I want to say around 2007, and then it just didn't get completed. They stopped and Rainbow Drive got done. I know Carrie Norman worked on that one. And so that land already has the water line in and the fire hydrants in, and there's power lines right overhead, so electricity is easy to access. It needs sewer, it needs a street, and then you have to have a water runoff plan, of course, because there's houses down the hill. And so there's an engineering firm working with the builder on the water runoff plan. The city council was given sort of an overview of what they think that's going to be, but it has to be, you know, approved. But what the council did is we have a federal grant that allows, is must be used for infrastructure. So we can't just, let's do this over here or that over there. It has to be used for infrastructure. There's no, you cannot utilize that money otherwise. And so the council has earmarked enough money for the needed infrastructure, so the street and the sewer, that kind of stuff, to allow for as many as 19 new houses to be built up there. Okay, so why is that a big deal? Well, we just talked about net new construction. Now you don't have one or two new houses, you have 19 that will be built over time, like Wedgwood was. You know, sell the lot, build the house, sell the lot, build the house, just like Wedgwood was done. So the assessed tax value of 19 brand new houses coming onto the tax roll, it's a huge deal here. I just mentioned Wedgwood. Before that, when was the last time that many houses came to this town? They're coming in the same window that 92 apartments will be coming to this town. This is a huge win for Richland Center. This is just monumental in a city this size. So you tell me all the time the population doesn't grow here. Okay, fair. So people need to know. one of our local employers, one of our largest city employers, just tried to hire a new plant manager, and the gentleman turned the job down because he couldn't find a house here. That just happened. This hospital tells me all the time the challenges they have recruiting staff because they can't find housing here. That's not a new thing that's gone on for years, and frankly should have been addressed years before I ever got elected. It just wasn't. It is now. Okay, and you can keep going around and you talk to any employer, any of them. Ask the school district how tough it is to recruit and then retain young teachers based on the ability for them to find a house here. It's a problem at every level, and we've worked very hard to try to address it for two reasons. One is we desperately need the housing here. This cannot be overstated. Number two is net new construction. The only way we get more money for the city to pay its bills, for the county to pay its bills, is to get new construction. That's state law. It was in Act 10. Okay, now either that, or we can cut services, or we can borrow money and throw that on the tax roll. I hate both of those answers, so let's get stuff built here. It's a challenge to get things built here. I've mentioned on the air how much of our area is floodplain. I've mentioned on the air how the steep hills, which are beautiful and are our calling card in many respects, but how those steep hills do inhibit new construction, because it's just, you're not going to build up and over some of these hills. It's just not going to happen. The cost of getting city infrastructure in there stops the project by itself. So it's harder here than it is in some other places, and you have to be more creative and maybe work a little harder, and we've done it, and we're here. I believe, even though nobody's turned dirt anywhere on either one of them yet, I absolutely believe at this point 92 apartments will be built and 19 new houses, 19 new lots will be made available. And the builders out there actually have several people who have contacted them and expressed interest in buying one of those lots already to either move into town or to maybe get out of the house they raised their kids in that they don't need anymore and move into something new, which then will put their houses on the market, which will make it easier for young families to live in Richland Center. This is the good stuff, guys. This is what you should be rooting for your community. You want population growth? There it is. You want to get more kids in the schools? There it is. You want to grow the tax base? There it is. It all ties in to housing. And what housing? New construction. That's the point, and here it comes.
You get to that point where you market that a little bit and kind of publicize
100%.
That?
100%. I mean, there you go, right? So the builders, the owners of Panorama will market theirs. They own apartments all over the state, guys. They're not new at this. They know what to do. And they've got a plan to rent up two buildings. They absolutely are not concerned that's a problem. They own these all over. They already own the one here, but I don't know everywhere they are, but I know they're in the Dells. I know they're in Holman. I want to say maybe Rhinelander, up in that area somewhere. Anyway, these guys aren't rookies. They know how to build and how to fill them, and they'll do that part. On the new houses, obviously the primary work will be done by the landowners, but yeah, I mean, obviously, that by the time that gets done, know this, when you put a road in, a street in, you have to go out and get bids. There's not a lot of paving companies working this part of the state. So one delay will be getting the street in. Obviously, you're not going to build until you have the way in. And it wouldn't surprise me if that street's not fully complete until something like September of next year, because they'll have to go through the bid process. That'll happen over the winter into the spring. Then whoever the company is that wins the bid will have to line up their crew to get out here. Then they'll send them out here. Then you deal with the weather. If it's rainy, it slows you down, et cetera, et cetera. Every time we've done a street project, it tends to conclude, you know, late summer. And I would expect that too on that one. So, but that's okay. That's just, we know that now. That's nothing to be concerned about. That's just the way construction works in this world, in this part of the world. So, in the meantime, the landowners are doing everything they've been asked to do. They know, again, these people are very experienced. Mr. Lamont has years of experience in construction. Ellen has years of experience in real estate. They've made a great team, and they brought this possibility to us.
during the city council meeting that you alluded to, big news about a possible hotel. I know you had a couple different entities presenting there, Mayor Todd. And how did that go? Maybe you could recap that.
I'd be happy to. I think that's very important for the community to hear. So by now, 2 years ago, probably, Mr. Marty Richards. You ever hear of Marty Richards?
Mm-mm.
Phil, you don't know him?
That's one of those. Are you from so-and-so? Do you know? And then you never know whether you should say yes or no.
Right. Well.
Because I either like this person or, you know. So, but yeah, yes, I know him.
I want to say he went to Ithaca High School.
Yes. Yeah. And he's on the morning show tomorrow.
He's on the morning show tomorrow.
So he can have his equal time.
Then I'll say wonderful things about Mr. Marty Richards. Great guy. Glad to know him. No, Marty is our tourism director. Okay. And Marty came to first a department head meeting, so that's myself, the city administrator, and for instance, you know, the police chief and the public works director, and then all the utility department heads. We meet once a month. And at one of those meetings, he talked about how this community has missed out on several events that he's tried to attract because of the lack of hotel rooms. Yeah. I've heard it when there were simply people who had a class reunion, people who were here for a wedding, people even here for a funeral and wound up staying in another town because they had trouble finding a room. I've heard that many times, and he's heard it louder than I have, and in a sense, think about it that way. So if you could have had whatever, just one event or another that would have brought tourism dollars and impact to our community and to our local businesses, and they end up going somewhere else saying, hey, you don't have enough rooms for us to book what we wanted to do. So, well, we said, well, you know, we believe you, Marty, but, well, if we're going to get serious about that, we got to have some data. We got to know it's a problem. We can't think it is. So the city commissioned a hotel feasibility study, which was done independently. This wasn't done by the city. This was done independently. And the group that did it, that's what they do, that kind of work for a living. They're professionals. And they came back to us and said, yeah, you need 54 more rooms. Okay, a hotel feasibility study was done that showed a need for 54 more hotel rooms in Richland Center. That was presented. The plan commission heard that. The city council heard that. And we took it to heart. And we said, well, now what? If they say so, they're the professionals. So where do we put it? Well, the city happens to own the land to the north of the downtown Quick Trip, right there on the other side of Court Street. Think of where the farmer's market's being held, right there. The city owns that land. So we said, well, 1 + 1 = 2. So we did a request for proposal, and we made it known that the city had interest in attracting a hotel. So if a hotel chain had interest, you'll let us know who you are, and we'll get you on the calendar to make a proposal to the city council. And we heard back from two, Cobblestone and Grandstay, who are two reputable chains who cater to small cities. That's what they do. That's what makes the Richland Center appealing to them, and it's why it made them appealing to us. They speak the language. Everything they do is with a small place in mind. And they both came down and did live presentations to the city council. They both submitted their information that we requested so that we knew more about them. Several members of the city council toured a hotel from each chain. Some of us have stayed. I stayed in a Cobblestone. I haven't been in a Grandstay yet. A lot of us did our homework. And then at that same council session, the special session where the grant money was allocated to do the houses we talked about, the council had to make a choice. Do we pursue Cobblestone or Grandstay? And honestly, it was a tough choice because they're both quality organizations, but the council voted to pursue Cobblestone. And so that's where the city's going to go. And then what happens now, some of this has already been done. We don't just say, let's get them. What's it going to take? Oh, boy. Well, you get too emotional, you can make a bad choice on behalf of your city, and you don't ever want to put the taxpayers in an uncomfortable position. So what we do is we work with a group called Ehlers, which is spelled Ehlers, and that group's been around a long, long time, and they assist municipalities, large and small, in basically financial review and analysis of potential projects, you know, what tools are available if the city gets involved. What's a fair risk, if you will, and what's too much? Because what you don't want to do, the term is unduly enriching the entrepreneur. In other words, somebody comes to the city and says, I want to build this thing. Give me millions and I'm all yours. Well, imagine that. Okay, so what's fair and what's necessary? and what's not, because you can't, anybody's going to ask for as much as they think they can get. But you're dealing with the public's money. You're dealing with public debt if it comes to that. So you don't just say, oh boy, they want X amount. Should we do it? No. You say, this is what they asked for. Ehlers, what do you think? And this is where it gets really interesting, because Ehlers isn't going to give you an opinion without a review of the finances of the entrepreneur. And this, a really quick way to know if somebody didn't really need the money, if they start getting asked to provide financial data and they run away. You know, not everybody wants to show what color their underwear is, right, Phil? I mean, really. So you get into, the need assessment. It's called the but-for test. But for this, the project would not get built. If there's another way, find the other way. But for this, that's when you get involved with what's called TIF financing, tax incremental financing, creating a TID, which is a tax incremental district, to help pay for a new project. So Ehlers came back and basically told the council what they think really is necessary to get a hotel built. And so the council will have decisions to make going forward, but Cobblestone has been made aware of what Ehlers has told our city council, and it's now in their hands. So the way this will go, there is not an agreement at this time to get a hotel built. There is direction from the city council for city staff, so the administrator in the economic development, to pursue this with Cobblestone. And then if this looks like a feasible project based on what Ehlers has advised us to work with, then a developer's agreement will be drafted that would basically govern the project and spell out what Cobblestone will be doing and when, sort of what their obligations are. And if the city's taking on any obligations, those would be spelled out too. And the one example that's currently active in Richland Center is Panorama. There was a TIF, a TID, a tax incremental district using tax incremental financing, was created to get Panorama built, because without it, it just didn't work. And that's what happened there. That's the only one we have open. Most of the communities around us have several open, because that's how it's a very commonly used tool to get things done. It's possible a TID would be created in the Orange Street area, not just for a hotel, but that the hotel would be part of that. That decision has not been made. But that is a possibility. It should just be considered a possibility for most big projects. It's just a commonly used tool. So we're going to go through those steps with Cobblestone and see if we can reach an agreement, which we're all excited to do, to get a brand new hotel built in our downtown area.
The number of rooms you said, suggested, that's about how many they'd be looking at?
Yeah, then? Right in that size. Yeah. We'll share more about what the hotel would look like and the amenities and all that as time passes. At this point, our focus is on reaching an agreement so the project happens in the first place. We are at a choice of who we're pursuing, and they've done a very fine presentation to us, and their reputation is very strong among the communities they're in. So that's all great, but now we have to get down to it and see if the developer's agreement can be crafted and signed, which would then allow for the groundbreaking. I mean, we're all optimistic and hopeful, excited. I think it would be a wonderful addition to the community, but we're not there yet. We are at the point of this is who we're working with. We'll see if we can get there.
Are you aware of what made the decision, why the city council made the decision to go with Cobblestone? What kind of put them over the top?
Well, it was, you can see the, I think Mr. Ben Kelch, who's a wonderful man, seated in the room with me now. Ben and Rod Perry make sure that all of our city council sessions are preserved on video. If somebody wants to watch it, it's available online. But it was really interesting because I could sense that the council was kind of in a little bit of a stalemate, not every individual on the council, but as a whole, because honestly, we had two good choices. We were where you would want to be. We had more than one viable option that really seemed like a fit. And even the people that had toured both facilities were like, man, I like this one for this and that one for that. And at that point, I was asking the council, what direction would you like to go? And Ms. Karen Tepley made a motion to go with cobblestone. She prefers cobblestone, and that's fine. And she made that motion. I believe Mr. Steve Downs seconded that, and it passed with a 7-1 vote. And I think, honestly, I think if a motion had been made to go with Grandstay, that likely would have been voted through too. I don't feel like the council was opposed at all to either organization, but we can fit one. And it just went that way, and that's fine. They're both fine organizations, and we're very happy to be working with Cobblestone. They're represented by good people, and I'm sure they'll work hard on this, as we will, and looking for a positive conclusion to get a new hotel in Richland Center.
Mayor Todd Coppernall, our guest on the Monday Morning Show from WRCO, and we'll have more after this timeout.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We stand ready to help you in planning a final farewell to your loved one that is healing and meaningful. The days following a loss are never easy, but we can all find comfort in knowing we are not alone. A funeral and visitation are a positive contribution to the grieving process, providing a formal time to reflect, love, forgive, and find comfort in our loss.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Dive into the heart of Wisconsin flavor at Arthur's Supper Club in Spring Green. Fridays are all about the classic Wisconsin fish fry, but that's not all. On the first Saturdays of the month, savor an amazing all-you-can-eat prime rib. That's sure to satisfy your cravings. And here's something special. They're now serving certified black Angus beef for the ultimate dining experience. Arthur's Supper Club, where every meal is a celebration. Bring your appetite and your friends to Arthur's Supper Club in Spring Green. Good food, good times, and great memories await.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Mayor Todd Coppernol in our morning show studios today before his office time today in downtown Richland Center. Good to have you in here for your monthly visit. It sounds like July, well, you made some progress during the month of July, didn't you?
Yeah, just busy all over town, busy with everything. And let's talk about a couple things I got to get out and see in July. The first one, I know Tony McCarville's been on your show talking about what people will remember as the Gables restaurant building. Well, if you haven't driven by it recently, you see the work they're doing down there. They're making real progress now, new windows in. There's a new dormer in there. They're really transforming the building while preserving what it's always been. It's kind of a blend of old and new. That building's about 100 years old. And they will be putting a new business in there. I'm sure Tony talked about it. I'm not going to because it's their story. But I heard about it, their plan for it over a year ago now, and their enthusiasm for it. And it's something a little bit different than what Richland Center has, which is part of the appeal. I think it's a great idea. And I don't know, you know, at this point when they think their construction will be done, but they're really moving faster now. And if you drive by, you can see that. I don't know if have you been down there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been swinging a hammer too. So
they're not just hiring it out, that they're down there. You see them working down there a lot. The other thing I did, and I really want to thank the folks that have been involved at the AD German Warehouse for an invitation I got to come down after work one night, and a representative of their group met me and let me in to show me what they've done in that first level there in the AD German Warehouse. So the last time I had actually been inside that building, I was an older person. It was the spring of 2019, so 6 years had passed. Mr. Lon Arbogast gave me a tour of that entire building, including a trip up to the rooftop, you know, all the way through it. And at that point, the building was much different than it is now. It had a musty smell. It had some old fixtures in there that are now gone. And what they've done is they've made that first floor just beautiful and vibrant. And on Friday nights down there, you know, it's open to the public as a sort of a lounge, a place to relax. Some weeks they have live music, others not. You know, sit with friends. And it's just a really comfortable space. I couldn't believe it was the same building on that level. And they've put an outdoor space in the, I guess, the breezeway. Right behind the warehouse, but between buildings. That was actually really cool, too. And I'm going to guess Jane Kintz had her hands on that just from the looks of it. And so I don't know everybody who did, so I'll stop naming names. But I was very impressed by that. And all I said was that at some point, Kim and I will come down on a Friday night and just hang out, and we will. And so after that, I've tried to take a look when I come home from my job. On Fridays, you know, around 5:30 p.m., rolling up Church Street, I take a look to the left, and there's people, man. There's vehicles parked all around, and more people inside than I've ever seen in that place in my life. So, again, I'm just trying to commend local people for hard work, trying to do things that will have positive impacts on Richland Center. I'd love to see new opportunities and growth, and sometimes a new opportunity comes in an old space. And in this case, that's what's happening at the AD German Warehouse.
Yeah, always cool to talk about brand new buildings, but I also like to see the preservation, if it's possible, for some of the classics.
You know, you get blends, right? Sometimes an old building can't be maintained and has to go. Other times it can be renovated, you know, and it's always emotional either way. You know, nobody wants to lose a place they have an emotional connection to, but, you know, sometimes that can't be helped. And, you know, other times you sort of get the win-win. The traditionalists are happy, and so are the people looking for something new. So they've got more work to do down there, but they're doing it. They've made a lot of progress that I just hadn't seen for myself. So I did, and I'm really glad I did. Thanks again to the group for the invitation.
New seats coming into the auditorium
as well. New seats at the auditorium. See, there you go again. A lot of work renovating that old building. It's been going on for several years. You know, there's an elevator in there now that was never there, and so on and so on. And now more comfortable seats are coming. And again, who doesn't want that? But without losing the look and feel and familiarity of our auditorium, it will have more comfortable seats. It's kind of that blend of old and new that you just mentioned.
And the stage being dedicated to Betty Hayes along the way?
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, I know a lot of people have taken a minute to comment and compliment, comment on and compliment Betty Hayes. Well, do it again. I mean, man, what a contributor for generations. So many. When I can remember going to kindergarten, this would be the fall of 72, and some of the girls in the kindergarten class that I was meeting for the first time did a little dance for all of us that, as they said, Miss Betty had taught them. That's my generation, 53 or whatever years ago. Do the math, Ben. 1972. You know, and that's 53 years ago, and that was my generation as little kids. And then as we grew, you know, several of my peers that sent their kids to her, and on going back through, and some, lots of different communities, right? Not just Richland Center, but speaking specifically of Richland Center, what a wonderful contributor for so long. So whoever has 5 minutes to compliment Betty Hayes, go for it.
National Night Out is tomorrow night in our area, and that's across the nation, actually, that we do that. But a proud moment, the Richland Center takes part in that as well.
Yeah, we do, and it's a great event, and it's grown in popularity each year, and it's a great chance to relax and have some fun, but in a sort of a completely informal, relaxed way, a chance to meet people representing our EMS, representing law enforcement, representing the fire department, and so on, just in an informal setting. I think that's an important part of it, obviously. It's an important part of it, but just a growing event in our community that's been really well received, and it's been fun to watch it get a little bigger every year, and I'm sure it will be again this time.
And the next time that you're on this program, we'll talk about the county fair coming up shortly. I think that probably the weekend that you'll be here.
Yeah, right, we probably should, just in advance, if you've got exhibits you want to get in, get them in. Now's the time for that. And I've actually had several people tell me that either they themselves will be exhibiting, some of them are doing art projects and things, and then one of my neighbors just told me that, you know, there's still a family farm out in the county, and his kids will be exhibiting some livestock, and they're entering some produce. And there you go. It's that long heritage in Richland County, that wonderful heritage at our county fair. And looking forward to that. So if you're if you have any inkling that you might want to participate, go for it. Have some fun. I did it as a kid. You know, a lot of us did. And my mom, for years and years, was an exhibitor. She also was a judge for a while. You know, had a great time doing all of that. And now my wife participates in some of these things with some of her friends. And it's just sort of that tradition. And that's, you know, the kids have fun with the cotton candy and the rides, but there's a lot more going on than that. I always love our fair.
Mm-hmm. Signing up right now, I think it's time. I think some of the things are due. I know they mentioned Little Britches this morning, too, to kind of get that going, getting some young people involved in that. So,
well, why not?
About a month away.
Well, yeah, we're there, right? Here we go again, right? You look up, and here we are into August, and the fair's a month out. I mean, I think every year, well, no matter the event, don't you find yourself saying, are we there already?
I know.
But here it comes. It'll be county fair time, and I really do always look forward to the Richland County Fair.
David Turk and members of county were here, the county board, the other day, and of course a lot of things that don't necessarily you know, you don't have necessarily a say in or whatever, but the campus buildings and reconfiguration, that continues to be a hot topic. Anything from the city angle?
Well, no. Specific, no. Are you asking specific to the campus property?
Yes.
Okay. No. So the county's doing their due diligence. They own the property, okay? Well, which means we own the property, all of us, because we all live in the county. So that's about 130 acres out there. Some of it is floodplain. A good amount of it is. But obviously, some of it isn't. It's very valuable real estate, as I'm sure was explained on the air here. One of the bridges has now been replaced out there, which needed to be done. Okay, so whenever it is time for decisions to be made on what happens next out there, the county is the owner of the property. The property exists within the city. This represents a phenomenal opportunity for the county and the city to work together. Because for one thing, it can't be avoided. It's county property within the city. So depending on what would be proposed, potentially, if something new was constructed there, that kind of thing, that property will be subject to city zoning laws. That property will be subject to the city's comprehensive plan. That property will be subject to the city's land use map. It's no different than any other property in the city. It just happens that this one's a big one owned by the county. So yeah, it's for the county to decide what they want to do. But from that point, it's not over. It's not just this is what we're doing. No. What happens has to be in compliance with city zoning, city land use, city comprehensive plan. That's not a threat. That's not anything negative at all. What it is, it's just explaining to the public who needs to know this, that both the county government and the city government will ultimately be involved in what happens to that property because it's a very large county-owned property within the city limits. It has to be that way, and that's fine. We've worked together on several things. I have several friends currently representing the county. I'm not worried about this at all. I just want people to understand the process. The county does this. They come up with what they think is a great idea. It will have to come before, for instance, the City Planning Commission, very likely the City Council. That's just because it's in the city. So I think it's a great chance for the county and the city to show the public that we can collaborate without friction, and I expect that to happen.
And we also talked about new courthouse possibility, new jail, new police, those kind of things. Again, that's a county thing, but it is in the city.
Well, and therefore, okay, so an interesting part of that. So it is a county thing, which means it's the county board, and the county board chair and the county administrator. Those folks work on this. That's the way that should be. And it is. But yeah, if they're using property within the city, which if you stop and look at our county, it's going to be within the city. We're the only city in the county and, the hub for Richland County. So much of what the county does, so many of the buildings they own do exist within the city of Richland Center. So again, yes, two separate entities, but never forget this. Every resident of the city of Richland Center is a resident of Richland County. Where is Richland Center on a map, do you think? It's in Richland County. So it doesn't have to be an us versus them or a me and a they. Get that out of my face. I have no time for it. Richland Center and Richland County are married for life. We're the only city the county's got, and they're the only county we exist in. So depending on your point of view, it's the same answer. We cannot and should not ever attempt to separate the two because it's not going to happen. You're not going to take 5,100 people out of a county of less than 18,000, and you're not going to get another city the size of Richland Center to just show up and build out here. So we need to get along, and we are. We're doing that. A lot of credit to first Marty Brewer and now Dave Turk on the county side, who have been the county board chairs while I've been mayor, and I'm really proud of that and the effort that's gone in and the administrators in both entities as well, working hard to get along and find ways to work together. We have to. A lot of county property is in the city. Again, city zoning, city comprehensive plan, city land use map. This stuff exists for a reason, the same way the county has its rules that it follows. And I look forward to opportunities to work with the county. It's not confrontational at all from me or from Mr. Turk. And that's a very important element. And I just think as we go forward, the county's got some big, big choices to make. You're going to need a new jail. You're going to need a new courthouse. They told you it costs $90 million. You forget it. The county doesn't have that money and can't borrow that much. So get creative. What do you do? Well, again, this may lend itself, or we don't know yet, but this may lend itself to a golden opportunity for the city and the county to work together and find ways to improve efficiencies and represent all of our people and maybe in a little bit better way financially going forward. You can't get out of some of this, and you shouldn't try to. These services that are mandated, obviously law enforcement's chief among those. So you got to have your police station, your courthouse, your jail, all of that. You must have that. Well, the city has what it has and the county has what it has, and we have limited space and limited resources. So in any time we can find a better way by working together, we have to look at it and figure it out.
Doing anything fun this summer, Mayor Todd? Any vacations or anything?
I haven't done a vacation. I'm not going to get one in this summer. There's just been too much in my family. You know, my mom's health and my wife had a health issue in the spring that she's just gotten through. And my father-in-law lives with us, and he did too. So it has been wild in the mayoral estate on 8th Street. It's been wild this summer. And so there just hasn't been the brain space or the time available to go take a vacation, but that's okay, whatever. Everything's going to calm down. Life does what it does sometimes. I am enjoying the summer, though, with my wife. Kimmy and I got out in the UTV yesterday, just touring around Richland County, looking at this beautiful place, and we cruised up past the Oakwood fruit farm up there, and we're thinking already about the trip we always take out there, which is, again, just a few weeks out, I'm sure, before we do that. And what I love about cruising around Richland County, and I don't just mean Highway 14 and Highway 80. When you have a UTV, you can't be there. So you're in township roads and county roads, and you see the real beauty of the place and the characters that live here. You know, people are friendly here. And I've had farmers wave at me, come here. And they'll just stand and introduce themselves to me in the middle of nowhere. And they're just out painting a wall or chasing the cows or whatever they're doing. And they just saw me, so they said hi. And I just love that part. That's one thing that getting into the whole off-road machine lifestyle has brought to my household is Kim and I are both from here, grew up here. There's got to be 30 really cool places in the county that we'd never known were there because you have to leave the highway to find them. And then we did, now we do. And then that's just kind of a fun thing. So in this time anyway, in lieu of a formal, more planned vacation, we've snuck in our time when we could to go do that stuff.
Great. Anything else you wanted to add today?
Just a thank you and a message of gratitude basically to everyone who can hear me today. So, you know, I think life is about two things more than any other things. And they are empathy and gratitude in whatever order you want to rank them. If you want to know, if you want to be able to get anything done, you have to have empathy. You have to. If you can't relate to other people and understand where they're coming from, if you can't learn the skills it takes to get them to hear where you're at and do both things equally well, you have to hear the other people first, but then you have to express yourself in a way that makes sense to them. So empathy, or you get nothing done in life. And gratitude, because life is hard. I don't care who you are, and you will be challenged over and over again from start to finish in this world. And someone very intelligent, a woman who grew up here, taught me that about 10 years ago when I was going through a pretty big challenge in my life and explained to me some terrible things that she'd had to overcome and said to me, every morning when my alarm clock goes off, I turn off the alarm, I put my feet on the floor, and before I stand up off the bed, I stop and think about what things I have to be grateful for. And verbally, out loud, sitting alone in her bedroom, expresses the things she's grateful for in the moment. Every single day before she even stands up off her bed. And this person is the most positive human being you'll ever meet. Lights up a room everywhere she goes. And when she told me the things she'd had to overcome, you'd think she'd be bitter and angry. And she said, that's why I do what I do. So thank you to everyone out there for listening to the show, to the voters for electing me, and on down the list. If you have anything you'd like to discuss with me, I'll be in the mayor's office all day today, and you can always get me on the mobile phone, 608-604-5399. Thank you.
Wonderful. We'll see you at National Night Out on Tuesday night, and then at Grace on Friday night.
Thank you, Phil.
You bet. Mayor Todd, the mayor for the city of Richland Center, Todd Coppernall, our guest on today's morning show.
In honor of Breastfeeding Awareness Month, the lactation consultants and registered nurses at the Richland Hospital and Clinics shares advice for success. Start early and feed frequently. Begin within the first hour after birth, if possible. Expect newborns to nurse 8 to 12 times a day. Take care of yourself. Stay hydrated. Eat nourishing foods. Rest when you can. This is a physically and emotionally demanding time. Your well-being matters too.
Pappas Trading Post in Arena is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission bow retailer. Pappas Trading Post offers you a team of experienced professionals ready to help you get the perfect new bow, crossbow, arrows, or accessories for the season. Pappas team can also tune up your current bow for peak performance when it matters most. And they have a 40-yard indoor range to sharpen your aim. Visit Pappas Trading Post, 2 miles west of Arena on the corner of Highway 14 and H.
Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday 9 to 5.
Thanks to Mayor Todd for being our guest on this morning show today. Tomorrow we'll talk about Greater Richland Area Tourism. We have lots of subjects. As mentioned, we'll have more of the ambassador interviews this week. We'll have an interview with, in fact, Betsy Wiedenfeld and Seth Paulson. We'll share their stories during this week's morning show as well as we lead toward the actual walk coming up on Friday night with the opening ceremony at 6 at Crosscut Park, which we will also have for you. We'll share that with you live during the nighttime on Friday. Plus, we will have the luminary ceremony on the radio, and we're able to do that. The Packers don't have a preseason game on Friday this year, as they have in the past. They play, in fact, this Saturday will be the first Packer pregame show, or preseason, I should say, preseason game. There's three of them this year. That's it for the morning show. Coming up next, an ABC News update.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes. So it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary, just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side, you need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
Attention neighbors, your voice matters. Join Jefferson E. Davis, Wisconsin Statewide Election Integrity Coalition.